Hello and welcome back to the Across the Pod NFL podcast, the second episode of series four of this podcast. And I'm, as ever, your host, Andy Davis. Now, the main theme of the episode is more about the International Pathway Program. And of course, breaking news, if you weren't aware, as of Thursday night into Friday morning in the UK, Welsh Rugby Union star, or former Welsh Rugby Union star, Louis Rees-Sammet is heading to the Chiefs, it seems. It seems all but certain now. It was reported, late last night that he is set to join the Kansas City Chiefs. And I'm going to get the source now because I have forgotten. I want to give this guy credit. The source came from Jordan Schultz. And of course, as being a Welsh myself, I thought who best to bring on to discuss a Welsh player joining the NFL than a fellow Welshman. So former guest of the show, friend of the show, Ravens fan. Back with us today is third and long Shane Harris. Shane, it's been a few weeks, a few months since I last spoke to you. How have you been?
Yeah, let's knock that few months speaking on the air. We should be a bit more, like sociable with each other. But yeah, not too bad, my old buddy, not too bad.
Good stuff to hear. And of course, before we get into really any of the talking points, it's been what seems a lifetime since the season ended. How are you coping? How are you spending your Sunday nights now without any NFL?
It's You know the old saying, you don't know what you got till it's gone. And it's Sunday nights are a lot quieter in my household, since the I don't wanna go back to it again, but the events of the AFC Championship game, yeah, it's a struggle. You just sit there waiting to go to bed, waiting for Monday morning, waiting for work now,
I will say though, one thing I have found is the only positive about having no NFLs on Sundays is I actually feel fresh at work on Mondays. I don't feel absolutely shattered because, whether it's going to bed at midnight like myself, I normally tend to, as we all know by now on the podcast, if you are a regular listener, I do record the late games and watch them the following morning. And that's normally like a 5 a.m., 6 a.m. job, go to bed at midnight. And I know some people, many who listen to this podcast or just NFL fans in the UK, do the whole until 4 a.m. job. I think we can all say that it's nice to have Monday morning and actually feel properly fresh.
Yeah, 100%, 100%. Yeah, but it all begins again fairly soon. The draft is less than a month away.
Yeah, and it's we are looking forward to that. We are bringing back our four regulars from the last 2 years who came on our mock drafts in the last 2 years. We're hoping to bring you a similar sort of concept. All four of us make our picks. Try to give as many fans possible picks for their teams, and also we're gonna, like last year, bring in the element of trade, so people will be trading in. But either way, it should be an exciting draft once again. Which sadly, we have got the first overall pick pretty much locked in. I've never seen the first overall pick so obvious. When their new signing wide receiver goes to his pro day, I think it's not, they're not even trying to hide, not even trying to smoke screen. They're making it very clear now that Caleb Williams is the guy, and I'm sure you, Shane, like myself, are looking forward to seeing our team's pick in the first round, something I've not seen in a number of years due to Tyreek
I
Hill
know.
or Stephen Ross. So for me, yeah, it's exciting, and looking forward to that. But the main talking point today is Louis Rees-Sammet. Now, me and you've talked to you off air. You aren't the biggest rugby fan. I myself am the same, but I do watch it through association. I've got my dad is a massive rugby fan. My brother, my mum has got into it through my dad. So rugby's always been on my house. It goes further to my uncle and to my granddad. It's been years and years of family tradition to watch Wales games together, certainly when my grandparents were alive. And so rugby, even though I'm not the biggest fan, I do feel a part of it in me. Certainly Wales games, certainly World Cup, Six Nations, etc. And for those who saw TikTok a few months ago, I put it out there that I actually said just days before the news came out that he was going to be joining the IPP, I would love to see a Welshman in the NFL. And that's something we've never seen in the NFL is a Welshman. And whether you like rugby or not, it's great to have a Welshman playing in the NFL. But it seems all but likely now that Rees-Sammet will be playing in the NFL and certainly in the NFL and look more than likely the Chiefs. For you, Shane, we've seen F.A. Abada come in. We've seen Jay Ajayi and Christian Wade, English-born players. We're now seeing a few Irish players come through. We saw Dan Whelan, also the Packers last year. Jamie Gillen, of course, from Scotland, but yet to have a Welshman. So for you, Shane, just how good is it to have a Welshman you can sort of watch in the NFL.
In all honesty, just hearing you say the words Welsh and NFL in the same sentence is giving me goosebumps, you know. I've been living in England 2 years, but let's not get it twisted. I am 100% proud to be Welsh, proud to be a representative in Bristol of my hometown, Neutrodiga, you know. So this is huge for me to see Lewis Rees-Zammit signing in the NFL. In all honesty, I would have loved him to come to my beloved Baltimore Ravens, but that's not the case. But I'm happy the fact that he's going to a really successful side. You may see a ring on his finger by the time all this is all said and done. It's just nice to see him, you know. And he was probably the biggest name in the IPP when they were announced. And I'm quite surprised that the Chiefs have picked him up this quickly. So they must have been impressed.
Yeah, and I think that the speed he's shown, it's impressive. And that's why I was surprised that we didn't go for him, because one thing we build our side on is speed, whether it's Hill, whether it's Waddle, whether it's Achane, Mostert. We're a team that prides ourselves on speed. So I was surprised that he wasn't at least one of the teams that he visited. And I would have loved that. I mean, I'm sure you'd be the same thing as me, Shane, that you'd buy his jersey day one. For Welshman
Oh, of
playing for
course,
the team. And
100%.
I'm sure there's Chiefs fans out there that who are Welsh that will be buying his jersey the moment he announces his signing, the moment he announced what number he's wearing. I am sure that many Welsh Chiefs fans are going to be, certainly racing to the shops, or the online shops, I should say, these days, to go and get his jersey. And I think that it's, I think I talked about my TikTok of recently today. It's that not only is it good for the UK NFL scene in Wales, but I think in terms of growing fans, I think you're going to see a lot of Chiefs fans now in the UK. And Welsh fans, especially, are going to, if you're new to the NFL and you're Welsh, and me, Sam, if you're a rugby fan, especially, and he's playing the NFL, you're going to want to support his team. I know players don't always last teams so long, and he could change teams, but I think it's certainly going to raise, because I do think that it is, I think from my experience, I do reckon it's probably out of the four home nations, I do reckon Wales is probably the least following of the NFL, in my opinion. I could be wrong. I don't know whereabouts where you live, Shane, whether it's the same thing there, but I found that there aren't that many Welsh fans. And when you go to NFL games in London, or you go to watch games in bars, and I've been to bars in Cardiff and London and Bristol, and I've met way more British, I mean, way more Irish fans at London games. I've met way more Scottish fans at London games than were more English fans. I've met more Austrian and German fans than I have Welsh fans in London games. So for me, I could be wrong, and please do correct me in the comments or on social media if that is the case. And there are more Welsh fans than I thought, but for me, yeah, I think it's just great for the Welsh sort of interest in the sport, and just for growing, I think just growing Wales's name, because from my experience from traveling America, is that a lot of Americans think that Wales is part of England. So I think it'd be nice.
Oh, I hate that. I hate that so much.
It's a bugbear of mine, but I mean, Gareth Bale's helped that a lot, I think, with
Yeah.
European countries. I think when I went into raiding 2016, and people said, Wales, what was that? And we just go, Gareth Bale, and they know exactly. It was, what, a month after the Euros finished as well. So Gareth Bale did a great job, I think, in Europe of building that Wales, the knowledge of Wales and
Awareness.
Wales'
Yeah.
stature. But I think this is going to, I think, on a worldwide basis, especially in America, people are going to really open their eyes to Wales and how good of a country they are. And I think the talent you see is Rhys Ammett. So, yeah, for me, I think it's really all a positive thing. And I think, whilst me and you both love our him playing for our team, I think at the same time, I think it gives us a reason to cheer on the Chiefs. I think that, I think certainly for me, if Chiefs are ever in a Super Bowl and he's playing in the game, I think as long as it's, I think 9 times out of 10, I'm gonna want him to win. Unless they play the Lions or someone who's a feel good story, I think we're all gonna want the Chiefs to win because of Rhys Ammett.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, like where I grew up, I don't know if this was the same for you. I grew up in a small valley town, as I said, a name drop, Neutrodiga. And where I'm from, it's a massive rugby. Rugby is everything. But I was always a football boy. So to me, rugby was the enemy then. You know what I mean? And they didn't come to our pub to watch a rugby. We didn't go to their pub to watch the football. And that's the way it stayed. So that rivalry has kind of stuck with me. But then you saying about Lewis Rees-Zammit, like everyone I grew up with, everyone says, "Oh, rugby's better than American football." You know, they wear too many pads and that sort of thing. But I think this could broaden broaden the horizons in Wales for American football. And as you said, you go to bars now. And like you went to Cardiff to watch the Super Bowl in Walkabout, I believe you was telling me. Yeah.
No, it was tiny
I
level.
no,
Tiny level.
sorry, my apologies, but my apologies.
Oh, actually, well,
Yeah.
whilst we're here, I don't know whether everyone heard my story on this about the Super Bowl.
I didn't go on.
I'll put on our socials and all that. But so we're watching the game ends, TV turns off straight away. So we don't get to watch a team lift a trophy. Now, for me, I think part of sports is watching that. You watch more a lot of times to see who wins a certain trophy, whether it's you're watching a Premier League season or an FA Cup final, or you're watching a Masters, or you're watching the World Snooker Championship. You're there to watch the person win it and lift that trophy. And I think for me, I think I'll never go to there again to watch a game because I just couldn't believe that they turned it off literally within a minute of the game ending, and so I had to watch it all through YouTube and Instagram and social media. And I think that, yes, I get it's late and they're not a sports bar stereotypically, but I think at the same time, for once a year, just open it for half an hour more. It's not gonna if they want to go to bed, like why are they doing it anyway in the first place? So for me, and
Yeah.
also it's for, lucky for them that it's the Chiefs one, so people are used to seeing them win. But imagine if the Lions had made it to, if they made it past the Niners, they made the Super Bowl, and they beat the Chiefs, and you're a Lions fan watching at a pub, watching your team who's never made the Super Bowl win a Super Bowl for the first time, or even someone like the Vikings or a team that has made the Super Bowl but hasn't won it. You're there watching your team. Who cares whether you're 4,000 miles away? You're still a fan of that team, and you're seeing your team win a Super Bowl for the first time, and they turn it off. I would be, if that was my Miami
Oh, not
Dolphins.
being funny. I wouldn't let them turn it off. Do you know
No,
what I mean?
me too,
Because
me
it's like
too.
you might never see this in our lifetime ever again, you know? And as you said, teams like the Lions or the Jaguars or the Browns, even, you know, to win the Super Bowl for the first time, that is something you may never see again. I would not let them turn that TV off.
Me neither. Me neither. And actually, on the flip side, I was in Bristol for Super Bowl, the Patriots Rams Super Bowl. It was in
Yeah.
Bristol. Funny if I can't think. Oh, the place
All
name.
stars, was it?
No, I wouldn't go there.
I
God,
mean, All Stars was Super Bowl.
it was a. Oh, it was like it felt like you were in a castle. I forgot what it's called. But anyway, there was Patriots fans there who walked off out the. This is one where they actually did show the celebrations. Patriots fans, they walk out the bar when the game's done, like. I don't care if you got work the next day. For me, like, surely you booked an annual leave at
Out
that
of it.
point. Like, you're going to bed at 4:30 or 5 or 4. Does that make a difference, really? You're going to be tired either way if you are going to
You
work.
know what's coming, yeah.
Yeah, so,
It's
like,
not any
why?
sense. The teams in Super Bowl are going to watch it. You book the next day off anyway.
Yeah, who cares whether you've won none, 1 or 6 Super Bowls? I mean, to see your team win it, it's NFL not for long for many reasons, and that's one of them. The windows are always, our Patriots fans are seeing now. It's been years and years of despair. And for me, I just think that's me. That's just crazy for me. Like, I would not be leaving the bar. I don't even drink, but I would not be leaving the bar until I've seen every last gasp, last drop of any coverage that show. I'd be there until I'd even watch the montage at the end of the program, whether it's BBC, ITV, or Sky. So for me, yeah, that was one of my bugbears. But I will let you carry on, because I realise I did interrupt you massively there on your point.
It's all right. No. I was just saying the fact that hopefully now with Lewis Rees-Zammit, do you think he'd be the last rugby player from Wales to basically take part in the IPP, do you think? Or do you think this may open a door for other people to be like, oh, well, if he can do it, I can do it, you know?
I think totally, because we saw really, I think Jay Jay effect. I think we've seen a lot more people take since he got joined in OC Mignolet and all that. I think a lot of English talent, but I think certainly, I think not only for the fact that not just for the playing ability, but I think also the money wise, I think it's going to appeal to a lot of people to convey to
Oh,
make the
yeah.
switch from rugby to football. Now, not every player's going to make it, but Lewis Rees-Zammit is reportedly going to be offered $900,000 in. Every year for 3 years. Now, Gloucester's most recent contract was something like 200 million per year. So he'd be basically earning in 1 year, what,
200
100 million?
million a year.
Sorry,
That
no,
don't sound right.
sorry, 200,000.
That don't sound right.
I'll be like, I'm not leaving rugby for that. But yeah, so basically he's earning in 1 year what he'd earn in 3 years at Gloucester. And I think we're going to see if Rees-Zammit can go to the NFL and he can. Even as a kick returner, or even as just a bit part player for the Chiefs as a running back or wide receiver, I think if he can go there and be some sort of success, it's going to see a lot more players who play rugby all over the country, not just Wales, is gonna really just open up their eyes, and I think they're gonna go, right, if he can do it, I can do it, and I want a bit of that money. I want that American dream for 2 or 3 years. I can come back to rugby like he's probably gonna do eventually. So for me, I think it's just great for, and I think it also really helps grassroots games, because you look at the BAFTA and all that at the moment, and it's predominantly English teams. You got, I don't think you got nothing. You got one, maybe two Wales teams at most involved in it. So for me, I think we'll see a lot more of a grassroots interest from the level, like the 8 or 9 or 10 year old level, from flag football. So I think it's going to really, and all the way to the obviously contact and tackle football. So I think it's really going to help impact that. And I think at the grassroots level, I think it's just great for the growth of the sport. And I think that.
Yeah, everything they're doing. Yeah, 100%. Everything they're doing. The London Games, the European Games, the game in Brazil that they're going to have, the game in Spain that's coming up as well, and the fact the flag football is that's going to be in the Olympics. That's insane. And the fact that again the IPP, it's growing, it's opening people's eyes to how good this sport is, and it's going to be. It wouldn't surprise me that if it's probably one of the most popular sports in the whole entire world, give it 10 years.
I do think that it's the same. I think same thing with them trying to get football or our football in America. I don't think we'll ever see football be topped in our country. I don't think you'll ever beat football. And I think football will always be king. I think Super League could kill it. That's the one thing that could. That's the only way they could really stop football being a national sport. But I think football will always be king. And I think the same thing, NFL will always be king over soccer in America. And I don't think that will be the case, but I do think at the same time it will open people's eyes up, and it'll get more people watching it. People will stop saying, it's rugby for wimps, and all that stuff you get with
Yeah, as
non-NFL
well, yeah.
fans. And I think I always say that if you want to get into NFL, just watch 5 games in full. If you don't like it, then fair enough. But people just always allude to, it's too long, it's too many adverts. And I always say that it's actually, if it wasn't stop start, it wouldn't be as good. I couldn't imagine watching 2 minute drills an entire 4 hours. So for me,
Yeah.
I think that if you watch 5 games and don't enjoy it, fair enough to you. I'll give it, not everyone can like a sport, fair enough, and I will. But I think people, too many people, were often going by that same lazy logic. I was somebody for years watch highlights, never watched it live for that reason. And then I watched the Super Bowl, I watched a few games, and then I start to really realize that actually the adverts, you sort of forget about them, they fly by. So for me, I think if even if he doesn't make it past 1 or 2 years, if he doesn't have a great career, I think I'm just hoping that it will open people's eyes up in Wales and the UK to the fact that it's a great sport. It is better than rugby. I agree with you there, and I think
Million
that it'll
percent.
just, people just see realize that actually, there's so much good as a sport. Obviously, every sport has its faults. There's a lot of things I would change in the NFL, like football, like golf, and my three favorite
Yeah.
sports. But I think people will just, I think it will hopefully stop the lazy narrative that it's too stop starting too many adverts.
How do you think you're going to feel, right? How do you think you're going to feel when you're watching a game an hour ahead? You're watching the Chiefs play somebody, anybody, whatever, and the camera pans to the crowd and they see a Welsh flag. My. There's going to be bumps. There's going to be, goosebumps everywhere. But just talking about it is giving me goosebumps now.
Well, yeah, I'll think about it today. When Jay Jay won the Super Bowl, the Eagles, he was carrying a massive British flag. Imagine if they win the Super Bowl, which they probably will. If he stays there for
Oh,
3 years, they'll probably win at least
don't,
one.
yeah.
They'll win at least one. If he's there for 3 years, they'll win at least one, you would think. And he's going to have a Welsh flag around the thing. He's probably going to have some sort of Welsh daffodil somewhere. I think it's going to be just asking me amazing to see. If I see Rhys Ammett on the podium in New Orleans next year, or San Francisco the year after that, and he's carrying a massive Welsh flag with a Lombardi trophy in one hand, Super Bowl ring in a few months' time, that's just going to be amazing. And I don't
Oh,
like the
yeah.
same teams winning it again. I hate the fact they win it all the time. I want to see different teams win it. But if it means Rhys Ammett is carrying a Welsh flag in the confetti in a Super Bowl, for me, that's just absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, 100%.
I mean, going on from Rhys Ammett, I mean, there's other players. Charlie Smythe, a kick specialist, has visited New Orleans Saints, speaking of New Orleans. So he is an Irish IPP player. I believe he's the only other player so far that's had a visit for a team. And obviously, Ireland's growing more and more. And the Steelers have got the market there. And shout out to Michael McQuaid, a guy I've become friendly with at the London Games. Him doing some great stuff at the Super Bowl, getting shout outs from Pat McAfee. I think Ireland as well are just doing great things. I think So if he can also make it as well, that's gonna have the same effect for Ireland. They're gonna love it as well. I think they love it already. I think they love it more than Scotland or England or Wales. But I
Yeah,
think.
they've got a college game soon. I'm not even sure. I've not been a massive college football fan, as has been well documented on our show. Like, they've got a college game soon. Have they ever had a college game in the UK? I don't know.
No, only I believe only Ireland. I don't know whether they had it in Belfast, maybe Northern
Exactly,
Ireland.
that just shows how big it is, yeah. And they
Yeah.
probably sold it out, expect as well.
Yeah, Irish sports fans are just, I think they're one of the best in the whole world. I think, whether it's rugby, whether it's football, whether it's, you've seen now with the college game in NFL, I think they always come. And I know I'm hoping that, to go there, Liverpool make the Europa League final and go to the fan zone, that's going to be nuts. And I think there's a real, I think there's a reason why Boston as well is it's a great city to visit because they're so sport thirsty. And I think Ireland's got that in abundance. So for me, yeah, it's going to be great for the British game if we see more and more. We see the NBA. We've got Jokic from Serbia. You've got Doncic from Slovenia. You've got Giannis from Greece. Wembanyama from France. And I think if you look at the top 50 players in the NBA, or maybe top 30, at least a quarter of them are not even American. They're European. And I think that I'm hoping that this will one day lead to the NFL being like that. I mean, they can actually call themselves world champions because you're going to have players
Yes,
from
yes.
all over. Even Canada, Germany, France. I think, the more we're seeing these kind of things happening, the more the America can open their eyes up to the fact that British players can play. Therefore, they're going to take more chances on British players, and therefore, I think all round it's going to be fantastic. Now, going back to the draft, we mentioned at the start of the program. I want to touch on the latest sort of drama really on social media, and I think completely unfair drama. Caleb Williams was spotted yesterday with a pink phone and pink fingernails, and I believe it looked like he's wearing lipstick as well. But people who are getting angry over this, just why are you wasting your time getting angry with such little things? Who the hell cares whether he's got no nail polish, whether he's got black, pink, yellow? Who gives a shit, basically? Apologies my language. Who gives a damn how he looks? At the end of the day, if I'm a Bears fan, he's going to go into the Bears unless some sort of massive shock comes in the draft. He's going to be a Chicago Bear come the start of this season in September. I would not care whether. How he looks, as long as he's playing well on the pitch or on the field, that's all I care about. So why are people getting so angry over something so meaningless and such a non-story?
Trivial,
I don't
trivial.
get it
Yeah,
myself.
100%, 100%. I mean, my hero since I was 8 years old, the greatest professional wrestler of all time, Bret the Hitman Hart, pink and black. Takes a real man to pull off pink and black, right? So I will never have an issue with any man wearing pink anything. But as you said, it doesn't really matter what he does off the field. Do what you want, look how you want, wear what you like. It matters what you do on the field. And as you alluded to at the beginning of the show, every man and his dog knows that he's going number one.
Yeah, I mean, really, I don't know how that's getting more talking points than some of the things he's saying. I watched a clip the other day of him going through his college tape, and he was extremely arrogant. And I think that should be more of a talking point about how that should be a red flag way more than someone's nail color. I think that,
No,
there
you're
are some
right.
worrying
Yeah.
signs. There are some really worrying
It's
signs.
arrogance, of course it is.
Yeah,
It's
I mean.
arrogance and it's arrogance or confidence. The fact that he knows he's going to be picked first. He didn't even go to his pro day, and that blew my mind.
I mean, why would you? If you're getting told you're getting picked in the first overall pick, why even risk injury? And it happens with a lot of college players. You're in high school, you're the man. Everyone worships you. You're probably getting, all the girls are probably chasing after you in school. Same thing in college. You're the man. You're the guy. You're the quarterback of your college's team. You are the man. You get picked first overall by a franchise who's desperate for a quarterback. Never ever had a franchise. Never ever had a 4,000-yard passer in the whole history of the franchise. Everyone wants a piece
That's
of him.
mad
You can't blame
madness.
him for being cocky, but it is slightly a red flag for me because
Slightly arrogant, yeah.
it's too arrogant. I need to find this clip and send it to you, Shane, and send it to our listeners because
Yeah, please do, but please
the
do.
thing I saw was just, it was hard to watch. I thought it was really hard to watch for me personally. It was just like, I mean, I get it. Like, I think it's good to have some confidence. I think, shout out to Curtis Jones. I think it's good to have a little bit of cockiness. But when you go overboard, I think that could be a little bit of a red flag. And I think there's a reason why not many first overall pick quarterbacks actually succeed. They go to a bad team
That's
or
the thing, yeah. That's
they're
the
not used
thing.
to playing. You're playing in a college system. This is my slight concern with JJ McCarthy. You're playing in a system where you've got a good O-line in college. You've got a good running back room to lean on. And you've got the best athletes in the country in your team. go from that to the worst team in the league, which is why they picked you. I think that's why you see a lot of players don't perform. So I think, Joe Burrow's done well, the Bengals, Lawrence done okay, but you've
Look
got
at Bryce
Jamarcus
Young. You've only got to
Russell.
look at Bryce Young's first season.
Yeah, you look at
You know?
Lawrence's first season, you look at Jamarcus
Yeah.
Russell, you look at
Jamarcus Russell, yeah.
you look at
Ryan Leaf.
Jameis Winston didn't have a great career, and I think that most of best quarterbacks I can think of weren't even top five picks. I mean, Brady was 199th. Yes, Manning is number one, but Marino was like 23rd or something. Mahomes was
Rodgers fell
10th.
right the way down the board as well.
Rodgers, Elway fell, though actually the Elway, he might be number one overall, but not many quarterbacks who are number one overall pick actually succeed. So for me, I think that should be more red flag than what color his phone is. So yeah. So yeah. But speaking of colours, purple was the tracksuit colour that it's the
Yes.
suit colour that Derrick Henry wore on his press conference when he joined the Ravens. That, of course, is one of the biggest off-season additions. Now, everyone knows my love for Derrick Henry, despite my slight
My
interesting
hate. You can say
story.
hate. You can't say hatred. I'm sat right by you. You can't say hatred.
No. I love the man to pieces, and I had a slightly weird interaction with him, but he is one of my favorite players ever to play in the NFL in my 10 years watching it, and I was hoping that we would go for him. But you've gone and got him. You've gone him for a fairly good deal. I think it's something like $19 million. It's over 2 years. It's a crazy cheap deal,
Yes.
pretty risk free. Now, for you, a team that had 8 carries, I believe it was, in the AFC Championship game, haven't really had an elite runner that isn't Lamar Jackson. Does Derrick Henry for the Ravens take you over the edge? Is he the final piece in the jigsaw? Is he the Alisson Becker to Liverpool? Is he the Eric Cantona at Man United?
That's better. I was absolutely buzzing when it was announced that we signed him. I was over the moon. Like you said, I think it may be the last piece in the jigsaw to finally bring the Lombardi back to Baltimore. But then I went on our show and the boys basically ripped me to bits and they were like, he's not good enough. You've reached for him. He's going to get injured. He's too old. There's not a lot left in the tank. And it really sort of, put a dampener on something that should have been a joyous moment. But as Derrick Henry said, somebody asked him in a press conference, "Do you have much left in the tank?" He said, "I'll show you. Just watch. I'll show you."
I mean, I think we all know he's slight declining. I think he's getting to that age now, but and obviously there's that risk. Obviously, Dalvin Cook was seen as washed, but he still had good numbers. Then the next year, well, this year just gone, he was awful. But I think definitely the size he is, I think, means that he can go for a few more years. And I think that, I think certainly for short yard gainage, I think it'd be great for that. And I think that he is someone that's gonna, I think be one of the best red zone threats in the league next year. I think if you get, if you get down to the 4 yard line, you've got Derrick Henry on the ball, basically be like Marshawn Lynch for the Seahawks. He'd be a bit like that, just someone you can rely on. Obviously, Carroll didn't completely use that method in the Super Bowl where they lost to the Patriots, but I think that the what we're going to see with the Ravens is really is going to be he's just going to be a threat. He's going to occasionally get you a 30 yard run. But when you get down to the nitty-gritty, he's going to be that banker that you can rely on to get you in the end zone. And I think that, whilst, and I think, there's certain other things that may go against you, whether it's, injuries or whether it's just teams being better than you, like the Chiefs, for example. But kind of thinking that this is the best chance you'll get. I think this year and next year and the year before that, I think this is your time to go out and win a Super Bowl.
I think last year was probably the best chance that we had. But as you said, 8 carries in the AFC Championship game, it does make you think if we had Derrick Henry then, because we actually tried to get him before the trade deadline. And I watched the press conference and he said, unfortunately, we did try to work a deal out, but they couldn't work a deal out. But they got him now. Gus Edwards has gone to LA. Thank you, Gus, for all your service. I loved you, but it's time to get off the Gus bus now. J.K. Dobbins is also being looked at by the Chargers. He's fit again, but for how long? Who knows? Keaton Mitchell is looking like an explosive runner as well. And Justice Hill is unsung in the backfield. I think he had a very decent season. So yeah, it remains to be seen.
Yeah, and I just want to actually take this time to quickly send my condolences to those families that lost members of their family in the Brooklyn
Yeah.
bridge crash. I mean, I've been on that bridge myself. It's such a lovely area of Baltimore, and it's if you can ever get a chance to do it, if you want to see some real America, get on a bus. I can't think what the company was, but get on a coach from Philadelphia to
Greyhound.
Baltimore. No, I'm not. They're banned from my ever being booked again by me. I'm never using them again. I had a horrible
Okay,
career with
you
them.
gotta tell me that story at some point.
I will. And those who listened to our episodes last year, I went through traveling through Buffalo and Detroit, you'll know exactly what the story is. And go back and listen to that episode because you'll find out all about my issues. But anyway, so yeah, the coach you get from Philadelphia to Baltimore, you get some lovely views. I mean, you can do it's like a 2 hour journey, and if you want to go to a game as well, it's actually like a 17-minute walk from the stadium. But you get some lovely views. And I went over that bridge, and yeah, it's just such an awful shame, you know,
Terrible.
what's happened. And I really do send my best wishes out and thoughts to everyone who is involved in it, who's got members of family involved or friends who are still missing. What it's such a shame, and it's a tragedy no one really wanted, and that is really sadly how we're going to end this podcast today. So first of all, thank you, Shane, for once again returning to the show.
Andy, always a pleasure. Always nice to catch up.
Always a pleasure, mate. We'll have you on certainly again. Like I said before in the last episode, unsure whether I'm doing the season previews this year for time reasons and being hectic, but
Oh.
we'll be sure to have Shane on definitely at some point. Certainly, if not week one or week two, before that as well. And of course, if you haven't already watched this stuff, go check out the Third and Long podcast. You can find on Facebook or all social media networks. They're all a great bunch of lads. Of course, you've seen all of them come on the podcast at one point or another during the last year or two. And sadly, they're the Patriots fan in the podcast. You have to sort of let that go. But overall, yeah, it's a good one to listen to, and they do a lot live. So yeah, do check that work out. But in the meantime, this has been the Across the Pod NFL podcast. I've been your host, as ever, Andy Davis. This has been Shane Harris, and we'll see you guys next time. Take care.